Aman al-Buttigġiċ li jimgawċi jilgaw l-semija ta' Campus FM għal-program Taħdita Klio. Fl-episodju tal-lum jina u li jimħankunu edin nitkelmu ma' Serena Alessi li hija id-direttur tal-Istituto Italiano di Kultura ġewwa l-Belt Valletta f'Malta. Li Malta u l-Italja bla dubju relazzjoni antikissima. Li l-għanda bidu laqqas tmiem, tista' tgħidux. Aħna fil-perjodu li interessa lilna l-iktar tal-kavalliri, ovvjament, l-Italja, m'hemmx Italja, ma' ovvjament l-Istati Italjani, l-kavalliri Italjani, mbagħad bħala kolonja Ingliża l-komplikazzjonijiet kollha tar-relazzjoni, mbagħad mill-indipendenza min tista' timraħ kemm tridu x'hekk.
Ma tafx, nasab, u jien nix bida l-ura biex nħodha fizzmin tal-Arab f'Malta, il-Konti Ruġġieru, Federiku, il-li taqtas għallija u anka ta' Malta, u mbagħad nasab għandek il-lingwa. Is-sikolo Arabo jekk jiktib, ma naħsibx nistgħu nifqu ġifieri nistgħu nagħmlu mhux sensiela, nistgħu naqbdu nagħmlu nagħmlu ġurnata nitkellmu dwarha. U l-Istitut Kulturali Italjan huwa naħseb fost dawk l-entitajiet li ħadnu din ir-relazzjoni u jippruvaw jikxfu ħafna iktar lill-pubbliku din ir-relazzjoni.
Ekku. Walda stanni l għawmana l-Serena Alessi li kifetti jad-direttur tal-Istitut Kulturali Italjan f'Malta biex neċaġa zera dwara jgħal kizbet id-dottorat tagħha minn Royal Holloway University f'Londra f'2015 u segwi n-numru ta' postdoctoral fellowships postijiet pa' Ruma, Venezia u New York. Qabel ma naqdet mal-Ministeru tal-Affarijiet Barranin tal-Italja bħala uffiċjal kulturali hija kienet riċerkatriċi bi speċjalizzazzjoni fil-letteratura kontemporanja Taljana u l-femminiżmu. U fil-fatt ilha mill-aħħar tal-2021 li daħlet ar-rwol tad-direttur tal-Istituto Italjano di Kultura ġewwa Malta. So, Serena, welcome.
Hello.
We've been blattering on a little bit. Sorry about that.
But trust me, we're just building you up.
Fantastic. So. Thank you so much for inviting me today. It's a real honor. I'm so happy to be here. So thank you very
much. It's a pleasure for us. It's a pleasure for us.
So I thought we could start by you telling us a little bit who is Serena Alessi.
Well, with pleasure. I don't know if the answer is really interesting, but I am the director of the Italian Cultural Institute in Valletta, in Malta. Well, being director of an institute of culture is, of course, a temporary role. So directorships are about 4 years in all the countries where Italian cultural institutes are. The name of whoever may be appointed as director of Italian Cultural Institute is Cultural Officer of the Italian Ministry of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation. So I'm a cultural officer when in Rome. And yes, I joined the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in 2020. Before that, as I think you already said in Maltese, I was an academic researcher. I did a PhD, then some postdocs, and I used to work on Italian culture, in Italian contemporary literature and feminism. Of course, this area of expertise and research proved to be essential also for a work like the one that I'm actually doing here.
In what ways?
Well, because Italian cultural institutes, I mean, directing an Italian cultural institute means to be able, as far as we can, to organize projects in a very wide and ample, cultural areas. And of course, coming from academia means to have, hopefully, a certain amount of skills when it comes to not only to, reading and writing, but also to organizing events, to deal with people, especially if you had teaching experience. I luckily have. This is actually what I missed most about academia, my students and my teaching time. If you're able to teach Italian to students, you're probably able to, deal with the community of an Italian culture Cultural Institute.
Good, good.
That's an interesting take. So, your role at the Cultural Institute, is it to talk about Italy?
I wish so. it's not just this, unfortunately, because Italian cultural institutes are Italian public administration. We are public offices like schools, like post offices, like okay. like university, like hospitals. So this is the very first important, point perhaps to understand and to share when talking about Italian cultural issues. We deal with public funds. And whoever, is the director of an Italian cultural institute, needs to, manage an office, a public office, when it comes to, accountability, when it comes to, human resources, when it
So all the boring stuff is there.
So it's basically a lot of boring stuff compensated by the possibility to do what in my opinion is the best job in the world, at least for me, which is organizing a cultural programming spanning from literature to cinema to art to music to gastronomy to design to photography. And this is so fascinating and funny. I have a lot of fun. And it's also a possibility for me and for my staff to learn. You never get bored. This is not exactly the point of Italian Cultural Institute. Italian Cultural Institutes are here not for us to learn, but to offer a service.
Oh, yes. But
still, it's really fun.
And you can see it in the passion that you're talking about, is that you really enjoy your job.
I do.
And that is something that is
yeah.
You know, it's always fun to see, and it comes across. And so, we'll stick to a bit of the boring stuff.
Yeah.
What is the connection between the Italian embassy, Malta, and the Italian Cultural Institute?
Okay, that's not even the worst boring stuff.
Okay.
No, but still, okay, there is a very big connection because we are the cultural office of the embassy. We are the same thing in a certain sense. You know, many Italian cultural institutes all over the world, there are 90 more or less all over the world, are literally just an office inside, the building where the embassy is. In this case, possibly it's clearer to understand the connection between the Italian Cultural Institute and the embassy. Here in Malta, we have
a separate office.
The great chance to have a wonderful building, beautiful building in St. George Square. I will be very happy to talk about it if you wish so. So we are, in a certain sense, separated also physically. But we of course are very much linked because we both the embassy, and Italian Cultural Institute belong to the same ministry. So we report to the same, central administration, which is the Italian Ministry for Foreign Affairs. So
that's interesting because perhaps if one is just looking from the outside, one would think if it's a cultural institute, it reports to a ministry for education or Ministry for Culture. But in fact, you report to the Ministry for Foreign Affairs.
Yes.
So culture, of course, is an extension of politics, we're saying.
Exactly.
Because Italy uses culture as, and it's, I'm realizing it now Manuel is.
This is a very central point. Thank you for highlighting it, Emmanuel, because this is true. Sometimes I really struggle, also in Italy, to explain that we do not belong to the Ministry of Culture, but to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which is really important because exactly as we are saying, cultural diplomacy is an asset of international relations, especially for a country like Italy. So when it comes to culture, we do not have to think that the Ministry of Culture only, which of course is one of our main partner and we collaborate a lot with them and with all their offices, but there are other public offices dealing with culture. And there is what we call a real network of Italian institutions abroad made of course Italian cultural institutes, but in some countries all over the world there are also Italian schools. With Italian schools I do not mean public school where Italian is learned and taught. Of course is offered and is taught, such as in Malta. But I mean schools organized exactly with Italian curricula, so exactly as if they were in Italy. Course there are embassies, there are consulates, uh-huh. there are the diplomatic mission. Italian cultural institutes are part of the diplomatic missions abroad.
It's what in current political jargon we call soft power, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. We call it soft power as well, and it's a big power. Yeah.
The British impose tea drinking on the country, and the Italians impose culture.
And pizza eating a lot.
Yes.
And a lot of other stuff.
But I say that the oldest reference to pizza is in Malta, not in Italy.
Can really fight about this.
We'll have a program.
We'll have a program.
We'll have a program on
Where are you from in Italy?
So I'm from Sicily, okay. So not very far from here.
Allora, un'isolana.
Sono un'isolana anch'io. I'm also belonging. Actually, it's very strange because it seems that I really like highlands because I'm from Sicily and from Catania.
Okay.
But I have left Catania when I was 20, if I'm not wrong. And I've lived in many other different cities and countries all over the Europe mainly and sometimes farther. I've lived for 5 years in the UK. This is why I said I really like.
So you had to suffer tea drinking with milk.
But I have to admit that I love tea.
Okay.
So. She's on my team.
Yes, I am.
I'm the coffee drinker. He's the tea drinker.
You mentioned about 90 of these institutes around
yes.
the world. How similar are they? I mean, the one in Malta to the one, I imagine Beijing, there probably is one. How much of a blueprint is there for how these institutions operate? Or each then has its own character?
Interesting question. Well, of course, there isn't just one answer. There is a lot in common. And this is good news in a certain sense, because being a public administration organized with public funds, imagine if whoever could do whatever they want. I mean, this would be very chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily for all of us, there is the Ministry of Foreign Affairs sharing guidelines, actually sharing, there are laws more than guidelines.
Yes.
there are laws, but there are also guidelines, you know, that are the same everywhere in the world. Okay. So this is very reassuring in a certain sense, because it means, that to the benefit of Italian contributors, we need to abide by some regulations. We cannot do whatever we want. On the other hand, of course, we always need to take into consideration the local territory where we work. And it would be useless, perhaps, to say that in Malta, we manage our cultural programming in the same way they do it in Japan, in the same way they do it in South America, and in the same way they do it in Nairobi. Of course, it is different because we need to respect the peculiarity of each country. So in this sense, there is a sort of declination of what we can do in a territory, but the laws, the way we can spend public funds, are the same for everyone.
Mm. Because I can imagine, as part of your mission, as part of this projection of soft power, you would have to be aware that, I don't know, a piece of theater that here would be absolutely fine, but if you were to put it up in Nairobi, you know, it might cause offense because of whatever, no? Mm-hmm. So I would imagine you have to have that local sensibility.
We have to, and this is why, for example, in each Italian cultural institute, they're part of the staff, actually the majority of the staff, in the case of Malta, all of the staff apart from me, is called local staff. It means that it's exactly to assure this local sensibility you're talking about, that we need, Italian cultural institutes need to employ people based in the territory. It doesn't matter where they are from. They can be, for example, in the case of the Italian Cultural Institute in Malta, 2 out of 4 are Italian and the other 2 are Maltese. And then there is me. But also the Italian ones were already based here. Mm-hmm. And this is really important because they are our insurance, our guaranteeing that if a director from Rome comes here saying whatever, they are there to explain what in this country works,
yes,
and what it doesn't. Apart from this, of course, we do have each Italian cultural institute, and the one in Malta especially, has a very long and successful story of collaborations with other institutions. So this is, in a certain sense, why you are here for me, because I can talk to Emmanuel and say, look, Emmanuel, does this event work in the, I don't know, history sector and in the academic sector? Mm-hmm. And you explain to me why it can. Mm. Is it possible for this event to work, or why it doesn't?
Yes, exactly. Okay.
So
now that you've mentioned these partnerships, as it were, who are some of the main partners that Istituto
Italiano
relates to? The university, of course.
Well, this is another very interesting question, because when it comes with long-standing partners, sometimes there are a little bit of misunderstanding, because in a certain sense, the institute cannot, this is another, for example, law we need to respect, we cannot collaborate twice with the same individual, not institution. Of course, there are exceptions that may apply, but this is important because we manage public funds. So we cannot call the same person again and again and again to work with us, because in Italy we have so many talents that there is a problem if we call the same singer, the same dancer, the same artist again and again. We need to call number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, and only if the list is finished we come back to number one. In case of Italian talents, it's endless, of course, because we are very lucky. Mm-hmm. Of course, this does not apply when it comes to partnership with institutions, because, of course, here there is the here and in the majority of countries where Italian cultural institutes are based, we have a constant relationship with universities, with schools. This is something that I really would like to strengthen as much as I can. We need and we want to collaborate with schools where Italian is taught, because we really would like to see more pupils and more teachers at our events. Here we have the Dante Alighieri, for example, and talking about referring to local institutions, Festivals Malta, Spazio Creative, Teatro Manuel, and the Heritage Malta, of course the other Maltese public administration, the Ministry for Culture, the Ministry for Education, just to give you, I'm just referring to
some of the
many partners. Uh-huh. Sfin Malta, when it comes to dance,
your plate is full.
It's so full.
but we have a couple of side plates left to fill it.
Yes.
And in fact, I wanted to ask you, you've been here since 2022.
2021, actually. October. It's 1 year and 3 months.
Okay, 1 year and 3 months.
More or less, yes.
Some of your favorite projects?
good questions. Actually, you cannot say, because I feel like a sort of, apparent saying.
Yeah, apparent. You cannot say
what you say. No, but actually I can, and I will, because my favorite projects are the projects that have been done in collaboration with local partners. For example, two of my favorite projects actually are theater projects. When it comes to theater, it's always a little bit, difficult to organize, because theater is expensive, but for a reason, of course. I'm not saying that because organizing a book presentation or, screening a movie has a certain amount of costs, but yes, still is more feasible than bringing a production from Italy with all their actors and technicians and the stage requirements, blah, 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 to Malta. But this is why we cannot manage to have the same amount of, movie screening in Malta organized by the institute and the same amount of theater production. It would make no sense. But last year, in 2022, we managed to have two splendid national theater production, one organized in Spazio Creative and the other one organized in Malta Society of Arts. The first one was a theater production on judges Falcone and Borsellino, and the response was amazing. The actors were amazing, and we also have this sort of, you know, setting when we organize events. We always leave spaces for question and answer for the public, also in case of big events such as theater. So the public had the chance to ask questions to the actor, and actually incredibly interesting conversation on Falcone and Borsellino, on the point of similarity and differences with Daphne Caruana Galizia, of course, have risen up during that evenings. And it was so intense that I believe that no one who was there that night will ever forget how intense it was. The other theater production I'm referring to came just after the first Italian course in theater, you know, the drama masterclass. We organize it as a drama because the Italian cultural history does not only organize events. I also do not really like the word events. I prefer projects. I know that sometimes projects do not make any sense.
You can see the difference. Yes,
there is a difference, especially in terms of measuring the impact of what you organize after an event. When you organize a project, it means that the day it finished, the day the project, the event is concluded, you do not finish working. You measure the impact of what you've just done. And when it comes to courses, and we are trying to organize other short courses, let's call them master classes, this year as well, it's even more important and more intense because we are trying to offer something that then remains to the people who attend it. I can really, these are just two, and when I mean theater because I talk to theater because I'm really proud and glad to be able to have organized, you know, two theater productions here, but another events that another project that I really cherished regarding last year's presentation was our contribution to the Malta Book Festival, for example. You know, the Malta Book Festival, organized by the National Book Council. So each year, the Italian Cultural Institute has a stand there. But we are not a publishing house. We do not have books to sell. So what can we do with this stand? This year, we decided to launch a public competition for Italian publishing houses and Italian bookshops to bring their products here. And so we were able to sell, contemporary Italian literature, contemporary Italian authors at the Malta Book Festival, and to organize a lot of events during the festivals as well.
And it was quite successful because the response was very interesting.
It was. I'm really happy about it.
One thing that we chatted about a little bit before we started the interview is the language question. This is something that Liam and I talk about a lot, and also with my other colleagues. The irony that what used to be a country, Malta, that had a very strong Italian language tradition, has very rapidly lost it in this last decade, more or less. I mean, there's almost a gulf between me and my students.
Yes, I know.
Not so much of age, I emphasize. but in terms of the fact that we grew up in a very different context. You know, Liam and I, and with my other colleague before, you know, we used to watch a lot of Italian television, we've got the language there.
Go to school with a horse and cart. You know.
we had a very good Italian instruction at school.
Yes.
That has very, very much changed now. And it's not just the case of Malta, of course, it has happened in other countries with their languages and so on. What's the challenge for you there? Is that something that the Istituto can and would like to address?
Yes, actually, this is perhaps the biggest challenge. So we are perfectly aware, the embassy and the institute together. We are perfectly aware of what you are saying. We are in a constant dialogue with academic institutions, of course, and professors within the University of Malta in order to try to tackle this problem, which is unfortunately, a European problem. It's not just a Maltese problem. But when it comes to Malta, of course, it's even more, you know, mm-hmm. important, because Malta here was, as you just said, was so widespread. So what we are trying to do is to try to, of course, tackle the problem with the means and with the tools that we have nowadays. The big thing that I hope we'll be able to share not very far away in the future is that we really would like, and we are trying, to organize language classes again, because the institute in the past used to offer language right. classes. Then it stopped, but now we see that there is a demand for language classes. The reason why we are not offering it right now, and so I also take this opportunity to say something else, is that the premises of the institute is under maintenance working.
Yes, restorations.
So under restorations. This is not a problem for us. Please help me sharing this very important point. The institute is not a building. The institute is not a place. The institute is an institution. We are wherever there are events organized by the institute. Of course, I would have liked a lot to have at least, you know, one event in a while at the Italian Cultural Institute and then events elsewhere. But this is not always possible. And in any case, this is not a problem for us. So I really would like to highlight this point. We are not building. We mm-hmm. are more than a building. Of course, the building would have come up to be useful when it comes to language classes. So we are sure. waiting for these works to finish. Of course, being a 17th century, you know, building, it will take time. Oh. And then we will try to work on this. But in the meantime, Absolutely. For whoever wants to practice their Italian language, whoever is interested in the Italian culture, please come to our events. It's not a course. These are events, but these are in Italian. Yes. So, you know.
And the future is bright.
And the future is bright. We hope so.
Serena, thank you so much for being with us today. The time has flew by, as always. On behalf of myself, and Emanuel Buttigieg, thank you for being here. Thank you to the listeners for joining in, and we'll meet you once again next week on Campus FM 103.7.
Thank you.